Podlita.
Working models who are working.
Captions crunch.
Podlita.
Conspiracy theory.
Top model Matt.
Podlita.
That's not very elegant.
So
nice to wear.
I guess.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Podlitum. It's Top Model Podcast, spelled backwards. My name is Hannah Jane Ginsburg, and you better finish that spaghetti.
I'm JW Crump, and what's up, pretty girls?
And I'm Alexander Price, and this tall chick next to me is going to ruin everything.
If I had a nickel.
I was about to say, how did Hannah not say that one?
I was so surprised Hannah didn't take that one and actually took my backup quote.
I'm very passionate about finishing pasta. At least wrap it up for later. Today we are talking about Cycle 13, Episode 4, Make Me Tall, which could be every episode title and no episode title of Cycle, a.k.a. The Girl Who Attempts a Gaslighting.
Yes.
But you know who's not gaslighting us? Our sponsors. Yay. Through anchor.fm/podlitum. Once again, that's anchor.fm/podlitum. And I've had a couple of y'all, I'm going to give a shout out to someone in a sec, for a couple of y'all not understand what we mean by this. If you go to anchor.fm/podlitum or click it in the show notes or whatever, you can support the show for 99 cents a month, $4.99. Or $9.99, 10 bucks, basically, 10, 5, or a dollar. Mm-hmm. And that just, it's a donation that'll come out monthly, whatever payment, you know, card you put on there. And it just, it goes to support the show, the expense of making the show, the equipment, the hosting, the bonus episodes, mostly some ice cream at this point. That's a big part of the pie graph of what this is now.
Relabeled Smize Cream Fund.
Yeah. And again, we're not ever going to put anything behind a paywall. It's nope. Just generosity if you want to do that. Generous. Like Angie, today's Angie. New. And let me tell y'all, do you know about the sitcom Angie?
No.
Two seasons, really good. Look it up. And here's the thing about Angie.
Good star, Angie Harmon.
Maybe, actually.
As a thinly the veiled version of herself.
I would need to look that up to make sure that if that is true or not. The TV series was an ABC, and it was like Donna Pascal, if you'll remember, who was a sitcom mainstay. It also had Doris Roberts, Ray's mom, and some other amazing people. But the theme song to Angie is one of my favorite theme songs of any show ever. And it even had like a fully extended disco version of itself. And it is so awesome. It's one of those things that there's a 2-minute long version, but the theme song is still like 1:10 for the real show. It's really good. So, Angie, if you've never looked up your own theme song with your name in it, go for it and giving yourself a treat.
You know what else is a treat? The horror music that is played behind Super Smize in the previously on.
Villain confirmed.
To the rescue to teach the girls an all-important lesson.
Also, the girls were given a rude awakening. So even the show agrees that Sean Patterson was rude.
Yeah, absolutely. The previously on is on our side in terms of Sean, but not on Courtney's side, because previously on makes it look like Courtney, like a full different storyline.
Like she got angry on set and threw a fit.
Yeah.
It was a photo finish for some of the girls at the photo shoot. A rare appropriate pun that also makes zero sense. Yeah. And I just have to tell you, at this point in my life, when I was watching this episode, I paused it on Amazon. Yes. And then I clicked on a little IMDb button.
Oh, yeah.
To see. And it tells you who, like, the listed.
The little X-ray.
Yeah. And I didn't know what was happening in this episode because I don't watch ahead. And it credited, the last credited person was someone who we will not meet, named Maria Antoinetta Vasquez.
What?
And she was credited as professional tall model.
Tall model who is talling.
She's a professional tall model. Tall
model.
So wait, hold on. This means, conspiracy theory, they got extra tall models for these tall models. That these aren't normal size models. These aren't your regular models. These are your tall models.
Yes.
Yeah, they're probably 6'5" or something. Yes. Ridiculous. Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't realize, when I was watching this episode the first time, I didn't realize that Bianca had been in the bottom two twice already. I don't know how I forgot that. But I was like, yeah, Bianca, you probably should have gone home from a mathematics standpoint, but you didn't deserve to be in the bottom two last week. So,
yeah.
And Bianca tells us her storyline, which is soft face.
I do feel bad for her when she says that she's saddened because she knows that she's walking on eggshells. It's a bummer of a position to be put in. And oh God, the show.
Especially when her pictures are good.
The show is so determined to put her in this role. And she really does an admirable job of not letting the show completely reduce her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to watch, especially since this cycle, as we'll learn in this episode, is full of wannabe villains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let Bianca have a break.
Back at the house, the digital art has never been more unhinged.
Oh my God.
It says, I'm in love with this picture, Tyra. Your body language looks fantastic, avant-garde. And I'm going to say nigh illegible because all the writing was so tiny.
So tiny.
And all that on the picture.
Well, it's a matter of playing with perspective to make yourself look taller. You know how you can make yourself look taller in a picture and longer? You hold up really tiny words next to yourself.
I just imagine Heidi Klum saying, this cycle digital art, it is a competition for you too.
How, and this also is a competition for you as well.
Yeah, thank you for correcting me. I couldn't remember the exact
phrase. Also as well, also as well.
My favorite.
Always. Let's see if the digital art has to have petite fonts. It's the petite digital art.
It's all in lowercase.
The smallest of cases.
And then Jennifer, in a vaguely threatening move, says to Erin, enjoy it.
Love Jennifer so much.
Nicole does a pretty big personality switch from the Nicole of auditions, who could not be bothered to interact, to diagnosing Ashley as a mean girl and Lulu as her ridiculous little sidekick.
Well, I don't know if they agree with her or the show agrees with her, but she comes off very correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Like I said in my alternate title, it's a lot of feeling sorry for people for things that aren't problems.
And then pointing it out and being like, see the problem? And you're like,
no.
Huh?
And to their credit, this does not work on most of their intended victims.
No. Wrong house to trifle with, I feel like. And also, and the Nicole wrong says people. Nicole says it correctly. Absolutely. Nicole says it correctly. It feels like they just haven't talked to Bianca, haven't made the effort to get to know her at all.
And that literally, and this is proven by the show, every person's name is in Ashley's mouth. She doesn't have a nice thing to say about seemingly anyone in this house.
Well, it's one of those things. There's only so much you can trust reality TV show editing.
Sure.
And we know that from many, many would-be villain edits that we've seen on the show that you grow up and watch and you're like, no. But they are giving these editors so much material.
Yeah, these sentences don't look particularly edited, except for timing.
We've had instances where they're clearly reusing one random throwaway sentence over and over again. This is not what's happening.
This is in every location of the house.
At the photo shoot.
Multiple hair styles and outfits. And Nicole seems to be, I will say, I think Nicole is probably like, oh, they're bullies.
Yes.
I fucking hate bullies.
I've dealt with this a lot.
Yeah. And so I think this is where that hard shift comes from with Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet, perfect, mathematical angel Brittany says, because she was erroneously second, incorrectly, I would say, last week, says, I was so close to being called first, so hopefully I only go up. And I'm like, well, yeah, Brittany, because literally anything besides first is down. I hope you do too, because otherwise everything else, it's must
a logic
suck.
Problem.
Yeah.
Anything for you else, to figure out.
It actually must suck to get second place, because then if you get anything else, you're like, oh, I did worse.
Whip noise. Tyra Vault.
That's how we get. Yeah.
Why does Bianca like doing these? Why?
She's so excited by the gimmick. Excited by the gimmick. Jennifer is too. Jennifer is here for the fun of this. Look, I'm going to tell y'all right now. If we were in the Top Model house, I would be running, sprinting, screaming Tyra Mail.
It's screen time. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Plus, I'd just be like, thank God something's happening.
Yeah, we know that nothing happens.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's runway. They're doing
runway.
How
old were you when you learned to walk?
Still, they're babies because they're short.
There is an overwhelming narrative of child equals short that I do not like.
That happens. That just happens to short people, though. Like, I was told for a very long time that I would be getting kid roles after developing the shape that I have and having the voice timbre that I do.
Oh, there's a lot of kids with boobies and an alto voice. So,
and Hannah is ready to play them.
They arrive.
Hannah, I'm gonna run a pilot and cast you, and it's like a 3-year-old, and you have to portray.
It's gonna be my Strangers with Candy.
It's your Pen 15.
It's like way too young for any adult.
It's
to
just
ever
at
play.
A daycare center.
Me filming low budget pilot in my house. My son and I are the same age.
I will write that for you tonight if you will get me that low budget.
And I be the daycare owner.
Yes, but your play. Wildly younger. You're doing the opposite that Hannah's doing.
Just all the extremes.
They arrive at the conga room. Let me tell you about the conga room.
Please tell me about the conga room.
The conga room is owned by Jimmy Smits, Jennifer Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, Sheila E., Trevor Ariza, and Will I Am, among
How
others.
How dare you dangle Jimmy Smits in front of me and not deliver?
Amazing.
It is also has a subtly racist dress code that includes no baggy jeans, trendy upscale fashionable shoes.
Ugh.
Trendy upscale casual shoes are allowed, but the definition of which is fashionable shoes that are designed for nightlife. Brand name, leather, dark colored, designer lace-ups and slip-on shoes allowed with appropriate attire. No athletic wear, no white or bright tennis shoes, no trainers, no skate shoes, no dirty or ripped shoes, no work boots, no Uggs, no sandals, no Timberlands.
This is a lot of shoe-based rules.
And also, this is the second version of the conga room because a man was shot at the conga room in 2002 at the first location.
Yeah, we have all listened to the Copacabana song. Thank you, Hannah. That was a perfect joke, Alexander. Yeah,
I've got
admit,
things
like
to read. I have
joke.
Things to read.
Let me ask Speaking a question. Let me ask a question about. Mm. Let me ask a question about the owner. Was her name Lola? Was she a showgirl?
Oh, we know it's Jennifer Lopez. Maybe she's among others. Maybe Lola was among
sure.
others.
Sure, great.
Speaking of children who we will never see again, Miss J walks out with Diva Devana.
Tyron Dez, runway model, age 9.
She's been modeling since she was 4, according to Miss J, until Tyra plucked her from what it sounds like was not obscurity,
no.
but a career, and had her walk on the Tyra show.
Yeah, they definitely create this narrative that Tyra discovered her, and I'm like, we're learning that she was already discovered.
Yeah,
and
she was a child model who was child working.
This
yeah.
is very proto-Ellen show.
Mm.
Oh, yes, a little sure. bit. I'm sure, Alexander, you've got tons of research, and I love it, and that's great.
If
let me
it
just
were...
say, let me just say, I have the only thing that I cared about when I looked her up, because I was just like, oh, let's look her up. Let's see if she's doing modeling, right? She wrote a book, and I'm sure you already know about it, Alexander.
I don't
but Hannah,
think so.
You are what?
I don't think I know about a book.
She wrote a book that I would have bought like that if it wasn't out of stock, because I want you to guess how long do you think this book is? It is a book that is 28 pages.
I was gonna say 26. I'm so proud of myself.
I couldn't tell you what this book's about. Here's what it says on the back. It's a fact that a high percentage of students may focus on school's appearance with fashion and having the latest trends, and sometimes less on having the right essentials and school supplies needed throughout the school year.
That's all it says.
What's this book about?
JW, that was it.
Yeah,
that's the book.
There's a little bit. There's like that's the direct quote. There might be a little bit more, but that's the main quote.
What was
on the
it
back
called?
It's like preparing for school or something. And here's the thing. It is, I think, couldn't find any copy, couldn't find a PDF, couldn't find any of that. I think it's just a book that's a list of what you need for school.
It's a back to school.
This is part of a charity she did. And it feels like the charity and the ambassadorship was that was probably super positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then she
this
tried.
Sounds to- like all these kids just care about fashion and not what's really important, which is a weird tack to take from a child model.
Yeah. So Diva Devana is now 21 years old and is currently 5'9".
Too tall to be on this cycle.
She has over 40,000 Instagram followers. She is actually quite community-minded. She's done a lot of different community outreach programs, Pillows for Change, sewing pillows for homeless people, Mask Up Newark, where she sewed masks and donated to the people in her community. She was born in Jersey City.
Good for her. Jersey City, New York?
Yes. She's been on a ton of magazine covers, but that all pales in comparison. Because
to her book.
No. Diva Devana has been a part of two ballroom houses. She was first in House of Mizrahi, and then as recently as 2019, she was in the House of Mugler, and she has legendary status. She walks balls in the runway category and has legendary status.
Great. Good
Maybe
for her.
This is why she like got in and got out so fast, because she's just too good for the show. She's like, I have bookings to get to.
She is also, as Sunday would say, you can't find one flaw in that little girl's walk.
Nope.
No.
Looks so good walking with Miss J.
Imagine the pressure of walking alongside Miss J too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
She's also considered to be a tiny version of Naomi Campbell, which...
Tyra's like, if I can't be friends with Naomi Campbell, I can be friends with petite Naomi Campbell.
Except they're never in the same room, so maybe not.
Oh.
Ashley says that Miss J is here to teach them that you don't have to be tall to walk tall. To which I say to Ashley, you're narrating too much.
Yeah.
Yep.
They can tell something's up because they have matching dresses from Mara Hoffman.
This was so confusing at first, though, right? When y'all first saw this, were you confused?
I was. I was like, wait a second. What?
Also because there's a trio.
Every model on Mara Hoffman's website is a person of color and inclusive of size. So that's cool.
Awesome.
Yes,
one thing I'll say, and this is the first, like, I really noticed it, but so far in the cycle, I feel like we're getting a lot of shout outs to designers when they're just being put in random clothing, which
we
I
are
think
getting
actually,
yeah.
I think that's actually really cool of this cycle.
I wonder if, because we don't really have a consistent wardrobe stylist, if they, part of the contract they had was they had to kind of call out
maybe
the style, the, because they're probably just being sent clothes from this, yeah, the style houses.
Also gonna say, and this is not something you would necessarily expect in a petite cycle, there are no train wreck walkers.
No.
I'm not fearing for anyone's safety.
Yeah, we're gone from the days of like an Amos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I will say, Lulu is a Mina because she thinks she's doing the most when she's really not doing anything.
That's a good observation, Alexander. She does have that kind of a Mina energy of, mm-hmm, she thinks she's doing a lot, but it's barely anything.
Except she doesn't seem like she's having fun. I mean, Amina did the most during the challenges, and you could see it. This is, yes, Lulu's always energy.
Brittany wants to show the sexy Brittany under the analytical mathematician, and I say those are one and the same.
Why is Brittany's dress, and I can't remember who is matching Brittany, their dress is so different from everyone else's dress.
It's just like a little black dress, right?
Yeah, but tight. Everyone else has like flowy.
Can we talk about the cityscape outfit that Nicole and Laura had to wear?
Oh my God.
This was so... This is... Laura is someone who all of her clothes are made by her grandma. And I think they're cute.
They are cute.
But there's a homemadiness to them. And yet this somehow...
looks more homemade.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Too many tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A dress should not be all tears.
No smiles, all tears.
It's Johnson & Johnson dress. Miss J has some great quotes during the walks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You walk as though your right leg is not yours.
Possessed. That Aaron, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. I also love the, I just want to get the Velcro from your right arm.
I know, because Hannah, you brought it up before. You love a Miss J walking impression.
I do.
On fire. this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all so subtle and accurate. I think it's because there aren't any train wrecks that you really see when Miss J does a subtle imitation, just how good those imitations
yeah.
are.
Kara's chin forward. And I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's he always kind of does the drag version of it, but in a fun way.
So they can see it.
So they can see yeah. it.
Yep.
Nicole's arched back. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I love, it's a bit controlled, but I'm sure you can actually make this work. Like, I'm not even going to give you a critique.
I'm going to also point out right now, I feel like, and this is why I think, spoiler for further down the line, if you haven't seen the cycle yet, so take a moment, skip a couple. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. I think the people who are eventual tops are students. And yes. I think you notice it, especially in this episode, that they are absorbing
mm-hmm.
a lot. The people who are very successful in the cycle are showing themselves to be students of the work.
Because yes. they're actually providing knowledge this season.
Amazing mm-hmm. how that happens.
It's almost like with a lower budget, we have to go back to basics in the best possible way.
This is also where we get the beginning of Ashley talking shit.
Ugh.
For no reason, says that Brittany's proportions are strange.
So they have to do a double walk.
Yeah, this is both a competition and a team sport.
Well,
and
I guess
a
triple it's not walk. For no reason. It's because they are walking together.
Well, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a great teach. And I also like that with Miss J, there's always like one, you know, 1 year it's the jacket, 1 year it's the this. There's always mm-hmm. a practical thing that you will have to model.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm saying that this is why Ashley started with Brittany.
Oh yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. absolutely. And that's why it was so weird too, because I'm like, she's also got the better walk and this just feels like jealousy.
Yeah.
I also love when the show shows a clip of Tyra failing at the thing that they're supposed to do.
This was incredible.
So they have a video of her with Beverly Peel walking in tandem
mm-hmm.
and Tyra cannot keep up.
Do it.
No.
Then she just kind of crosses when she shouldn't, it looks like. I was like, was this the best clip you had of this? There wasn't the Victoria's Secret moment where it could have been like faked a little bit.
Mm-hmm. They managed to get two sets of wings walking down at the same time.
Did she walk with Adriana Lima? Isn't that something?
Adriana Lima.
Adriana Lima, thank you. Is that a thing I'm making up? That clip wasn't available?
Maybe not yet. Who knows?
Mm.
And then it's back to the house for some hard Sunday truths.
Oh my God. The reveal.
This is amazing.
Courtney and Bianca's like, well, we were friends. And Sunday goes, I have those receipts. And they say that
she wasn't your friend. She talked about you. She talked about you with Lulu. By the way, Lulu's also not your friend.
Sunday says all of this in one breath while eating. And there is the biggest bug-eyed Bianca reaction.
Bianca's non-eyebrows go to the sky.
Go to the sun.
It's really sad. It's really sad.
It is sad.
It's sad, but this is something that I think was important for Bianca to hear, and I think Sunday is being a good friend, because
oh, yeah.
we kind of skipped over the part that Bianca's being down and it's defeating her because she misses Courtney.
Mm-hmm, and feels bad.
And Sunday's like, no. Don't let that defeat you. That is not worth your time or energy.
Yep.
This entire scene is great because we also have Laura baking ribs in the background the whole time.
Scraping pans.
Yeah.
Just scraping pans.
Well, and then when Bianca's like, I lost my appetite. Sunday's like, no, you don't. You finish that spaghetti. You keep your energy up. You go out there.
You get some carbs.
Sunday is a great friend.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell.
Actual tough love. Like actual tough love.
Also, as we'll find out later, took place right after the elimination.
Yes.
Because later on, we'll see the second half of this when Ashley and Lulu come in and they're in their elimination outfits.
And just immediately start bullying Bianca.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But it's Sunday's amazing. Sunday's becoming a top tier contestant. Also, there are a lot of pinwheels on the table. Because now
they each got to pick one thing at the supermarket.
Chopstick.
Tyra Vault. If you don't walk tall, then you'll come up short.
Mm. Eh. We didn't try. It's great.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how disappointing it is to be the person who reads that one?
Lulu.
You're so
it was Lulu.
You're
I so ran for this.
Yeah.
So the continued gaslighting happens here because the contestants all decide to practice together. And Lulu tries to tell Brittany that her walk is bad because her eyes are too piercing. And Brittany essentially says, that's just my face.
My eyes are piercing. That's just what they do.
It sounds like you're trying to compliment me. I'm going to leave the room now.
Brittany does this smart, mature thing. It's like, I can just leave.
Yeah, I don't need to be here.
Yeah, but also the audacity of Ashley and Lulu, who got told that their walks were not that great, to be like, I'm going to give you tips, Brittany. And Brittany's like, oh, you're here? I was just practicing by myself.
It's also so weird when Brittany walks past them and neither of them even make eye contact. They just like stare into the void.
Classic friendship. Classic bullying technique.
Yeah.
We get a perfect Sunday serving. We're in Malibu and we get to this big old mansion, bigger than the White House. Two White Houses put together. It's beautiful.
Two White Houses put together.
It's like she's auctioning off something to herself.
She's hyping herself up to bid.
Mm-hmm. It's perfection.
Oh, I would love Sunday to gas me up. She yes. would be great at it.
We get a Tyra 2 list of who this designer has worked for. This man was out here too early.
He was not yeah. ready. Not ready. Didn't want this.
Kevin Hall. And this is going to be important for JW. His brother is actor Von D. Curtis Hall from Chicago Hope.
What a family.
That's not part of the Chicago trilogy, but I do love Chicago Hope.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still a great show. I know.
Shit ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about one thing I realized is, you know, every cycle, the girls cheer, they clap, they're excited, their producers are asking them to. This is a house of woo girls.
Yeah.
And there is no more queen of woo than Ray. Ray is ready.
That's supportive mom energy, baby. Yeah,
that is, woo! I have a child that doesn't need to have words said at it.
I woo! See you. I see it. Yeah. It's me to see you.
Always ready to go. It's so funny.
And this is where Miss J lets them know that they're going to be walking with girls partnered with models who are 5'10 and above. And these girls are gooped by this information. Either walk tall next to these tall chicks or you're going to look like the itty bitty person that you are, says Lulu.
I didn't understand at first that they were literally going to be, I was about to say neck and neck, but that's not true. They're going to be side.
neck and waist.
They were going to be side by side with them because I was just like, okay, well, it's a show with some models of different heights. What does that matter? But then it's the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, I get what's happening.
Yeah. Walking with just makes it sound like they're sharing the runway. Yeah. All together.
Girls, this is Anne Choquette.
Anne Choquette and Miss J are in matching outfits. Miss J is so excited to have a friend again.
And he doesn't lie when he says this woman can decide your fate.
And this is the person that should have been the one cycle Paulina Twiggy replacement.
Yes.
Sure. Why not? We get several options this episode mm-hmm. for that slot. And Anne would be a great one.
We absolutely do. Anne would have been great.
We also get an advertorial.
Yay! For Excite Prom.
There was nothing I knew I needed more than Laura saying Anne Choquette's name. Anne Choquette.
So then we hear a song called Hot Chicks by our returning songsters, the DNC.
Good.
That includes the lyrics. You hot like fire, baby. Can I be that lighter, baby? I know, sounds crazy, but lately I've been on that high, Miss Lady. Now tell me something.
Oh, wait, did Anshul write this?
Oh, well, now tell me something. Can I persuade thee for you to sit next in me, 80s or 90s, where you might find me? We could be shining, unwinding. I'm talking about those sexies with nice outfits and smooth skin, seductive eyes and red lips. Yes, them hotties, get them licking my lips. Pretty ladies, you know how you got it all. Move it for me. So hot. Sweat dripping on my forehead.
I love how you tried to distance yourself from it and then just got swept away.
The DNC be doing that, lady.
This song, if you haven't seen this episode, hits you like a freight train.
Oh my God.
So loud.
Also, these models are on the wrong side of the split. This runway splits in the middle and the audience is on the tall model side. What a bad, poorly constructed idea that you could have switched so easily.
I did like that Kevin Hall was very hands-on about picking which outfits went with which model.
This felt like a real show. It was in a beautiful location. Where the audience sat made sense.
But there was away.
It was an appropriate amount of audience.
That is true. Yes. I will say one thing that was not realistic was they were allowed to eat in wardrobe.
Well,
it also felt like Nicole was sitting somewhere that Ashley and Lulu came over to sit and talk shit.
It wouldn't surprise me at this point. They're so like outsized about their shit talking all the time.
And this is clearly where that Nicole talking head comes from, of her being like, they don't stop talking about people.
Yes.
Near me all the time. And I really appreciated her saying, can we just leave it back at the house? Because you know it's going to happen, but can it not happen while we're literally at work?
Absolutely. Right? Laura continues to be adorable. She's a charmer. This is much better than walking down the frozen food aisle.
That is so real, though.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I've noticed that it feels like we get very little of two people who will become very prominent. I feel like we actually get very little Aaron and very little Laura.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think they might be doling out Laura in small doses on purpose so that they're just like, look, Laura's not part of this drama, but let's let you behind the scenes kind of fall in love with her.
If I can make a food metaphor so we can all smize about this. It's like when you get a baked good and there's like the crunchy granules of sugar on top. Ooh. That's what Laura is in these episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're like, should I have only the granules of sugar?
Maybe. No, I wouldn't. But it's the best part.
Yeah.
When it comes to their walking, I think that both Brittany and Kara, weirdly, like keep up in a way.
Kara is good.
I thought Kara improved a lot because I noticed her being quite bad during the lesson.
Sure.
So good for her.
She got the tip.
She also looked not short. For some reason, I don't know if she had a shorter model or what. Like, Kara looked long and tall.
I also thought Bianca has a good walk.
And Choquette disagrees. But
I don't think Bianca's is one of the best. I think it's very capable.
Yes.
She does have a lot of presence on the runway.
Yeah,
I wonder if it would have looked better without a tall model next to her.
Probably. I mean, they all would, but...
Sure.
Ergo the challenge.
Bianca is told she's strong but stumpy. Laura is
much
told...
Much like myself.
Laura is told good posture. Brittany, tall. Lulu, sad, short, and stumpy. And Ashley...
Sleepy. She needs a cup of coffee.
And Ashley, wiggle, because her hips are tight.
Because she's a dance teacher.
And Choquette doesn't even do the pause for television suspense. We're in total agreement that the winner is Brittany. I was like, we're not even pausing for that.
It also felt like she didn't give critiques for everyone because she's like, can we just give it to Brittany?
Anyway, clearly the Brittany, rest of you five don't need this, right? It's Brittany.
And she picks Laura and Kara.
Lara and Kara.
I was so glad she picked Laura.
Yeah.
Another Laura delightful moment. She's like, I'm going to show strangers. I'm going to show people I know. That's me.
It actually, but it also seems like she picked other people that probably got good critiques.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a mix of friendship with good critique.
I think, she implies later that she felt lucky that the girl she's friends with got good critiques because she didn't want to pick anyone else.
Yeah, that also seems true.
But also, her mathematical brain will only pick second and third.
Absolutely. We meet Yvonne Yu.
I could find literally nothing about
me either.
Mysterious.
Creative director for Excite Prom.
Where's Anne? Is this past her bedtime? Because this is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Anne would not have let that hair
on
to Brittany
ever happen.
They styled her like a heritage Barbie.
They look like the Mean Girl group in Romeo and Michelle.
They look like the aliens in Mars Attacks.
But just Brittany.
Just Brittany.
Kara and Laura got their hair, their normal hair. And Brittany got...
Oh, yeah, I got Alexander.
It's true, though. It was full Mars Attacks.
That movie is underrated, just going to say.
Oh, it's super fun. I watched it recently. It's so great.
This was like... Kara and Laura are going to put this in their portfolio. Bridget's going to look at this and be like, oh, not for me.
The photographer at one point says, bit more of a laugh. They give no reaction. There you go.
You did it.
I wrote the note. When we get back to the house, seems like the inside group is the problem.
I also noticed that Kara very much joins in. She's like the third string.
But then hides.
Yes. And I don't know if it's just because she doesn't like Nicole and that's like an extension of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kara might be in a weird friendship place. I also felt like because we never actually heard Kara say anything, that maybe Kara was there.
With Laura, who was cleaning up.
Yeah. And then Ashley and Lulu wanted that couch because they're going to have to talk crap on every single piece of furniture in the house. And Kara was like, I don't want to get up.
I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see how the episodes go. She seemed like she was participating to me. Not as much, but she did not seem reluctant to me.
No, she didn't seem reluctant, but she did seem there to live for the drama.
Yeah,
yeah, it might have been more of like the popcorn eating meme. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was one of those things where they started talking about Bianca and Kara's like, ugh. And then they started talking about Nicole and she's like, well.
I will say the outside group is wild because it's Bianca, Nicole, Aaron, and Brittany. And what a chaos grouping that is.
When Lulu says that seems like a strange group out there, I was like, that is true, Lulu. It's true.
But then it's just Bianca and Nicole having a lovely heart-to-heart.
Honest, sweet. Seems like it goes on for a long time because they're in several different seating positions.
And this is where it really felt to me like Bianca was not going to let the show do this to her. When she reminds us of what she's gone through recently and says, I'm still trying to feel beautiful again. I was just like, you are so much more than the show is trying to make you.
Absolutely.
Well, that. And if we go and connect it to what happened earlier after elimination, she opened up to someone who then talks shit about her. And it's like, cool, I guess I can't really be friends with anyone here.
Yeah, she's probably, you know, fresh off that Sunday sermon too. Just like, can I trust any redhead? Courtney hurt me.
This is also wild to me. How Ashley's take on Nicole could be so wildly off, calling her naive, and then Nicole's read of Ashley is 100% accurate.
Oh, like a sniper.
Ashley looks out there at this heart-to-heart and says, I think that whatever's going on out there is off. I don't know why. And it's like, no.
That's kind of the most frustrating thing about this once we get to the part that, like, they come inside and Nicole sits down with them and Nicole reads.
Before
and she's like,
even sits down, they call out to her, you're about to get beat up. She's about to trap you.
What are you fucking talking about?
And Nicole reads the room correctly and says, the energy here, really uncomfortable, really awkward. What is this now?
Like, and then in, to me, perhaps the creepiest moment, Lulu responds, really? I feel pretty good. What are you doing?
And that's the weirdest thing about all of this is Ashley and Lulu can't even tell Nicole what they're upset about or what they dislike because they don't have a
reason.
Because
there isn't anything.
No.
Yeah.
We also, this is the, it's important for a hilarious moment later, in my opinion. We also kind of get re-revealed. I think it was in the audition episode, but re-revealed that Bianca discovered religion, God, Jesus, right. Christianity. Mm-hmm. And then the editors are on the side of Bianca, Nicole, because as Ashley is talking shit, we're seeing Bianca praying at her bed, innocent as and nice as can be.
Yeah, because it's also presented in a way that I appreciate where it's like, Bianca's like, this is what helped me. It's not like, hey, have you heard about Jesus?
Absolutely.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
My best friend.
This feels like the turning point of the episode where the editors were like, Lulu, Ashley, do you really want to? You're sure you want to be the villain? You're sure.
Okay.
All right.
You still have an out, Lulu. You know what's very interesting? Now that we know this more about Bianca, that Amber relationship must have been so complicated.
Oh my God.
In audition episodes, you know, there was stuff where Bianca was like, I'm also Christian, but I want to be clear, I'm not.
This. The buzzer. The buzzer. Tyra falls. This time, short joke with mirror.
Once again, almost works.
Aaron says a house of mirrors would be cool because they would see us at every angle when we're posing. I'm like, yeah, Aaron, but you're not going to get that. You're going to get a trash warehouse.
Aaron says a house of mirrors would be cool, and then I could see only me for miles.
Aaron said a house of mirrors would be nice because we have no regular mirrors in this house. We only have funhouse mirrors.
Could I just look at a regular mirror? More than one?
I don't want my beauty distorted.
We all did this so well.
I love these moments of serendipity where none of us plan these things and then it just happens.
The chemistry. Is this the just the Cycle 12 warehouse from the light you weigh you look thing?
Seems like it.
It honestly looked, maybe it was the daytime. It looked like there was more light.
Well, they didn't have to light themselves. They didn't have to light themselves. This time had a...
New holes.
No, that was in New York. That was in New York. They
trucked it all the way over. Oh,
good.
Mr. J accidentally tells them what they're supposed to do on this shoot,
despite
actually,
himself.
Which is working off the set to make themselves look really long and cheat their proportions.
Yeah. The challenge of this one, be tall. Look tall.
Their photographer is Jonathan Mannion. And before I get into Jonathan Mannion, they show a photo of Tyra that is not her first comp card, and yet they pretend like it is.
Can I say one thing about him that I looked up before? Because I'm so proud to anytime I do research. Mm-hmm. He's shot over 300 album covers.
Yeah.
Including Jay-Z, Dr. Dre, Outkast, Nas, Nicki Minaj, Brandy, Kendrick Lamar, and was also the photographer behind the Beats by Dre Straight Outta campaign.
Wow.
And also, as a small thing, at some point for using his photo that they didn't get permission for, sued Coors.
Good.
Love that. Love that energy.
That is all true. The only other thing, he was the studio assistant for Richard Avedon, which is kind of
a
big deal.
Wow. Whoa. He also seemed pretty cool because obviously it felt like the models really trusted him.
Yeah. Tana, he's also 1 degree of separation away from us. Because he went to Kenyon College, where our husbands met.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
New
Most
team alert.
College campus in America.
New team alert. We've got Marco Bernardini on makeup. He can get it currently. He had a huge glow up all over that. Gina Tuso on wardrobe, heavily influenced by the LA skate scene. And Mitchell Stone, who has worked on the Black or White video. Was the hairstylist on the sitcom Ellen, was the hairstylist for Kim Basinger, and then has been dating Kim Basinger since 2014.
That's how you get some free hairstyling.
Love a hairstylist romance.
Ooh, that's a good romance novel for you, Hannah.
If not to recommend another podcast, but if you ever want to hear about the craziest hairstylist romance of all time, listen to the You Must Remember This episode about Barbara Streisand's A Star is Born.
It's interested.
Amazing. Listen to it.
What was the podcast called? I'll recommend another podcast.
You must remember this.
Great. Love it.
Rena Longworth.
Does Lulu not know how to modulate her voice? Because she is talking so loud.
Look at poor Brittany's hair. You realize that person's going to be doing your hair too, right, Lulu?
Wow.
And then Jay makes a very big mistake. His first of many this episode. He invites everyone to set. And Brittany rightfully says that's kind of a disadvantage because everyone else gets to watch her figure out how to be tall and then gets to take the tip from the last person that went.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like watching photo shoots is anything new on Top Model.
No.
Or the cycle.
No.
Because it happened during the little kid photos.
Mm-hmm.
Making a big production out of inviting them to set feels sabotage-y.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, Brittany's clearly uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've always let people watch, but also, I don't know if we've ever had a moment where the person's been like, hey, could they not? Is that okay?
I'm just saying, it felt like very much on the challenge when you get to decide the order. Because it's a competition that you don't know how it's going
to
work.
I agree. People are going to have more time to figure out the set, to figure out what works, to overhear the compliments about all those things. It was a big disadvantage to go first. And I think it negatively impacted her. Oh, God. Mr. J has a new thing.
New thing alert.
Ish. Oh, I like that. That's going to be my new thing.
That's my new term. Ish. This is where Nicole says, can't we leave this at the house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what wasn't left at the house either? The mattress that Nicole gets to lean on for most of hers.
That's why she's arching her back.
Bed bugs.
She doesn't want to touch that.
What the fuck? I wrote this down. I don't remember who says it. I don't know what it means. The potential to engage into a flow.
Mr. J says it about Kara, because yes. I also wrote it down because it is pure insanity.
I couldn't even parse out what it's supposed to mean.
No idea. No idea, Alexander, truly.
More gossiping for Lulu. This time about Brittany, Kara, and Laura.
Yeah, and also Kara, as we saw, only got positive feedback. And Lulu comes back about what? Kara, Brittany, Laura, sucked ass.
Trash.
Terrible. And I'm like, that's not even true of two of those people from what we saw.
She also leads to Mr. J's only good moment this episode, where he chokes Lulu.
Oh my god.
And then she says, please, that's what I need. And he responds correctly, choking? And she says, yeah. And he says, I'm out of here.
Lulu's into breath play.
I did enjoy Jonathan Mannion scooping up Sunday.
Hoisting Sunday onto the platform. And you could tell
and there was
something
like, thank you.
Yeah. It was something that you could tell she either asked for help with and they talked about.
I think it was a dress thing.
Fine. Oh, I think she couldn't move.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we need you on this platform. And she was like, good luck.
And then speaking of these contestants getting sprinkled in, Mr. J apparently knows that Aaron is crazy.
Yes.
Because he says, Aaron, so you don't have to go home and cry. This looks stunningly gorgeous or whatever.
That was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I also loved the explosion fist bump between Aaron and Jonathan.
Fun.
Into the boop, boop.
Yeah. What is Jay on about regarding Bianca still? Where he's their nemesis, apparently.
I have no idea. It's so odd, but even more
you
odd.
You see her face change, though, I gotta say.
You do.
You see her do it in real time.
What warms your heart? Jesus. I know it doesn't come out of nowhere.
For Jay, it does.
It just, yes. And it's just, we have had so much smizing where mostly people say food or cute things. And so it's, look, Jesus warms your heart. God warms your heart. Great. It just, it has a power behind the way Bianca says it that you are not tonally ready for when it happens.
No.
And then she looks to the heavens for 3 frames and then they're done.
Like it's the end of Hamilton.
And they don't even use that shot. Not even close. Not even close.
The music cue as they arrive back home.
Production has decided to lean into the doombox.
Skullmail.
And Lulu, apparently, I'm going to see if this joke is too dark. Lulu took that rope from set and brought it home to hang herself with because she says...
She is into choking.
I usually know when I'm not doing so well.
This house, Rachel started it.
No.
Rachel started it, but this house foreshadows real bad.
You think that because they're shorter, their foreshadows wouldn't be so long.
So fucking stupid. I have cursed more in this cycle, but it's just... The
directed
puns
as me.
That we make. No, it's not even you. It's all of us. It's the puns this show makes. I, standing hard for Brittany forever, until she does something bad, if it would seem silly for them to eliminate the girl who had the best runway walk. Yeah, it would, Brittany.
It sure would.
And I'm glad you said that out loud, because it would be real dumb for the show to do that.
It seems like she's saying it to ensure she stays.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, hey, production. Tap, 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 tap on my lav.
Is this on?
I'm the best walker. What is this gold stuff on Tyra's outfit?
Okay, we need to talk.
She borrowed that shirt from Jay, right? That's a Jay Manuel shirt.
It does kind of look like one, actually.
It looks like she is a sadist and went around and ripped off butterfly wings from still living butterflies.
Whoa!
To glue them to her shoulder.
Oh no. I gotta say, there was something funny. This just must have been like a time when Laguna Beach, The Hills, whatever show was. I didn't watch them all, so I don't know a lot.
Sure.
But when they showed Whitney Port as the like replacement Tiana 17 cover, and we just saw Lauren Conrad. I was like, this must have been the time for those shows.
Yes,
this must have been the time.
And speaking of people who should have been that fourth chair all cycle, Jamie Rashard does such a good job this episode.
She should have hosted this cycle.
And provides so much valuable insight.
Real
and
tips.
Practical tips.
Now, you weren't kidding, Hannah, because I remember in a previous episode, you said that it was near impossible to find anything on the internet about her.
Yep.
And I looked her up and I clicked on the first link and I read and I was like, wow, she's actually done a lot. I don't know what Hannah was going on about, blah, blah, blah. And then I realized the first thing when you search for her name is the Wikipedia entry for Jamie King.
Uh-huh. She is a footnote in another Jamie's Wikipedia entry.
And that's the first result.
The show gives us more in her intro that I could find on the internet.
Yeah. Now, I will say, there is one thing I found in my Where Are They Now section about her, that she did grace the cover of Italian Vogue back-to-back months.
That's what it says on...
Yeah.
That's what they say in her intro.
Yeah. For me, though, that seems like a budgetary issue that they were saving money and just did two shots in one day.
Let's just say it was the same shot. Actually, February and March was the same cover.
Erin is first.
Okay. We need to start the conversation before her photo. Erin's hair in panel. Erin has decided that big beehive bouffants with a rat tail braid.
I don't understand the braid.
She's trying
part.
To appear taller and longer.
We can all agree.
Trick the eye with horse perspective.
This is one of the worst hairstylings that anyone's ever done in panel, right? Because her hair can just be down
and just tease it.
It's just so weird and specific, and it feels like it goes uncommented on.
It does go uncommented on.
But I think you do have to give her the photo.
The photo's great.
She sells these shoes.
It's this shoes
better
sell
than
hard.
Last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. It feels like she should have gotten a first call out this week, and Brittany should have gotten last week. The point is, it is a great. And I also think she got one of the better stylings, which helps it. But, like, she looks tall. It's a good shot.
Yeah.
There's a mood. There's a moment.
I will say, I'm going to bring this up now. I hate that they, number one, ask the girls how tall they are. And then each judge says how tall they look with specific heights.
So silly.
It's like, as if they were like, look, we can't do this the first episode, but we are absolutely going to do like a full just height episode one time.
Yeah. Bianca is next.
They finally notice her panel fashion.
Yes. And it's a good one.
I will say she is crunched in this photo, but her face is gorgeous.
So,
and they didn't even choose a looking into the light one.
So beautiful. I think her legs still look pretty long.
Her legs do look long. I think it's just, it's also the styling, because I think the dress kind of is shortening with these lines.
I don't understand why... I mean, some women see Erin do make the shorter dresses look for them, but it really feels like the contestants who got the long sweeping gowns did get an advantage.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. And this starts Jamie's sub-hosting, sub-tweeting of Tyra, where she gives real tips.
Yeah. Instead of just, you model with the back of your neck.
Brittany is next.
Oh, boy.
I do not like this photo.
It's, her face is fine.
Her head looks photoshopped onto her body.
Yeah, it's a weird
this
photo.
Hair? This something about Mary Bouffant?
It's a real rough photo.
Yeah,
it also
she looks like she yipped.
Yeah. Her body doesn't even like look like it makes sense. Like, you can't tell me how it pieces together.
No, her legs are all the way to one side and her waist is the other side of the frame.
I don't think they had to pick a photo where she was holding up the skirt, even though she did it a lot.
She didn't have to.
Yeah. This is rough.
You know.
It is uncomfortable.
Sunday is next.
Scarves! Sunday, stop it!
Why?
She looks very, very long. This is the longest Sunday's ever looked.
And I like her face.
It's a good photo. It's a little samey face-wise to last week.
Fair.
To me,
we just don't see it covered in hair this time.
Exactly.
She's selling the watch.
Yes, she is. She is, absolutely.
Laura is next.
Okay. So, first of all, cute Laura moment. They ask her, just like everyone else, how tall she is. And she goes, I think 5'6".
Love that energy.
She's like, I don't know, short enough to be on the show. And then they ask her, I think that she presents a pretty darn good photo. And then they're like, well, what would you do to make yourself longer? And she would like, I would get out of the box. That box y'all made me pose in, I'd get out of it.
I'm trapped.
Her face is, I know we say this every week, her face is stunning.
So beautiful.
And I think it's a fine photo.
It's not her best, but she's taken very good photos.
Yeah, yeah. I think if she just angled her body a little more, her upper body a little more towards the camera, it would have been perfect. Yeah,
I agree. If she had Jennifer'd the picture a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk about Jennifer. Stunning.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Didn't need the mouth open quite so much, but
I think if she just tipped her face slightly a little bit forward, but
yeah. But oh my god.
It's definitely her.
It makes you want to get married in a dirty warehouse.
Yes. Yes. It looks like a gorgeous dirty warehouse bridal shot.
Mm-hmm. Which is the secret challenge.
Yeah, I think these pillar dresses were far more helpful than the short dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this lean looks pretty effortless, but that also must have been a very tense pose.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Nicole is next.
I love this photo. This photo is very memorable to me. I always think of this photo when I think of the petite cycle.
It mm-hmm. is memorable. There is a painting called Madonna with the Long Neck that this reminds me of, where I don't, like Jamie says, I don't know how Nicole did this.
Well, she's standing on the tiptoe of one foot and then resting her other foot on the stool.
Yep.
I'm talking about like her other proportion. Like she's as tall as this tiny mattress and her arms are longer than her body and her neck is like photoshopped long. Like there is,
mm-hmm.
I like this photo. There is something almost, remember when they did the quote freak show things and made like Anshul the tall woman? This is Nicole doing that correctly.
I disagree. I love it. I just think it looks amazing.
That dirty fucking mattress.
Yeah, it's funny that like it's such good modeling, even though she got kind of the stupidest, grossest prop.
And the ugliest dress.
Well, and she used it to make herself look more regal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I loved it.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there's a little uncanny valley-ness to it that mm-hmm. is uncomfortable, which is good for fashion sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And art. Lulu, on the other hand, her outfit that she comes to panel in.
Oh my goodness.
Is this the drop waist?
Yes. It is a beach cover up.
This color is hideous too.
Why would you do a drop waist?
With a belt.
That's ridiculous.
And this photo is fine.
She looks tired.
Yeah.
I used to do this on the jungle gym when I was like a little kid and I would get halfway up and just be tired and take a rest.
Once you look at like all of her photos together, she just has a real dullness behind her eyes in the photos. She's just not activated.
Maybe that's what the bangs were secretly for, to hide her eyes.
Cover them up.
Jamie points out that you should never point your knee towards the camera because it shortens your legs right off the bat. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, this is the stuff they should be getting told every episode.
Yep.
Yes. Kara's next. This is her best shot.
I'm going to say, and I don't know if it's because I have residual memories of not liking Kara and I'm being unfair. Could be very possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good, not great.
I think it's pretty good. I'm a little surprised that the show doesn't comment on the muscularity.
Mm-hmm. That was my thought, because uh-huh. she looks like Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's amazing. Like, that's probably my favorite. I don't like her bottom half. I think her upper half looks pretty great. I think the rope bottom around the leg weird. Looks weird.
It looks weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say,
the muscle of her pectoral muscle, Jesus Christ.
I know, right? One thing I'll say about Kara that I appreciate in photos, she's clearly figured out how to cheat or do, is as much as we have the conversation about Jennifer and her ptosis, I think that Kara's eyes are a little uneven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
But she's definitely figured out how in photos, she's like, oh, if I do this, boom.
And mm-hmm. I would say Kara kind of has a rough face in the set for pictures because it has the strongest lines. Mm. And she's kind of now starting to figure out how to work her face.
Yeah.
A little bit.
This for me is, it's definitely Kara's best. And I got to say, I feel the same way as you, Hannah, for some reason, and maybe it comes up in a later episode. I remember not liking Kara all that much, but her portfolio has been...
Is it because she reminds you of Clark?
Possible.
The meanest thing we can say about any other contestant.
And her first photo was not good.
Oh, no.
We did not like her first photo. But I'm curious to see if there's something that I'm like remembering in the back of my mind that's going to come up.
Yeah.
Or if it's just, I'm not vibing.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I mean, hey. And I mean, listener, if you're like a Kara fan, let us know, because I would love to. We're just like all disenchanted with Kara all the time.
I agree. Yeah. Ray is next.
I really like this photo.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
I think there's a problem with her styling, including her makeup, because she got zero.
That I'll give you styling stuff, because I think that, I mean, Brittany's pose is bad regardless.
I mean,
Brittany,
the shoes are gross.
Yeah.
And the dress is gross.
But I think her modeling's fine.
Yeah, I think it's
her
sexy
modeling is fine.
Without being, I'm not going to say it. It's sexy.
Yeah. No, I know what you're
saying.
Without
being
though,
over the top.
I think it can be tough to do a laying down pose and it not get too sexy.
She's pretty seductive in this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if you put her on top of a piano, I'd be into it.
Yeah. I just don't think she was given any of the same advantages that the other styling got.
Mm. Sure.
She got no makeup.
It doesn't seem designed to help her.
No, a booty.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cut her off at the ankle. Why didn't she get a wrapped like sandal thing?
Don't know. Nigel does say that if she'd angled her lower body away from camera a little bit more, she'd be lying down, but we wouldn't know where you'd be ending.
Yes, you would.
Where does she go?
Does Nigel not have object permanence? Ashley's last photo. What is this photo?
This is not good. This pose is bizarre. She's holding everything
and
nothing.
Her face isn't good.
But also sitting.
Yeah, it looks like she's taking a dump.
They say at some point that she's smizing with just one eye. Oh, she's only thinking about half a plate of food.
A piece of pizza.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the turkey pepperoni. She needed to go full swine.
She needed that real pork swine.
It's she's just hanging there.
This setup
but
is
also
standing.
Bad. It is a bad setup.
Because I think they gave it to her, the setup, to be like, you can be taller than the jungle gym bridge.
Sure.
And instead she's like, I am under the bridge.
Got it, under it.
Yeah.
Troll, three riddles.
Yeah,
Got it.
Doesn't feel like Ashley gets the assignments that she's been given.
Yeah. There is, when the girls exit, they cut to a weird look of disgust on Tyra's face as they're leaving the room.
I don't know.
It's really interesting.
Private panel. Tyra needed validation on this photo she picked of Aaron, right?
Apparently, yes.
And everyone was like, yeah, we liked it. And I do kind of like Nigel's. She was like, I thought you'd think it's boring. And Nigel goes, boringly beautiful. That was actually funny, Nigel.
Like, it felt strange that Tyra needed this extra-ness.
It did. It was a little odd. Maybe she was feeling insecure because Jamie did such a good job during battle.
Maybe. She continues to give good tips, even while the girls are not there.
Conspiracy theory.
Do-do-do-do.
Jamie used to have a ton online, and Tyra erased it.
Just like DJ Splits!
Is Jamie DJ Splits? If you haven't listened to these bonus episodes about Smythe Cream, you need to go and listen to them now.
Yeah, a little plug for those. We've done a part three of our Smythe Cream journey, and it ends on a high note, literally.
Miss J tries to make a pun work and says that Sunday's presence seems as though she's hungover from Saturday night, which, while cute, is false.
It's false.
Yeah, it's...
The scarf is that energy.
It's very pun forward, but... But I'm like, yeah, that's kind of Sunday's best photo, though.
I don't think it's not a photo. It's a
in person.
Oh, is that what they were discussing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't feel like that's true at all.
I think she looks thrown together sometimes. And the scarf enhances that.
Scarf never helps.
She's just a girl that needs a tank top. Just needs a tank top and jeans.
Mm-hmm. Nigel claims to be 6'3 and a half. I went online to make sure that was true. It seems like it is. At least he's made sure that is
very tall. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that's very tall. How tall are you, Alexander?
6-2.
So not a Nigel.
No.
Talking about Kara, Tyra says, it's a rare face. It's a face in a crowd that, woo, stands out. And Miss J responds, God bless her, which makes me think that Miss J is also not feeling Kara. Yeah.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, as the Southerner, you say God bless them, God bless her, God bless him, God bless her, whatever.
You hate them.
It's the meanest thing you can do. I have cried over someone telling me,
bless your heart. I think it's worse than bless your heart.
It's there. Both are, it's all in the bless negative connotation.
Negative blessings.
Yeah.
In Judaism, we just call it curses.
That's the anti-precious moments.
Negative blessings.
There's a lot of weird edits in this private panel. Yes? It's like cutting around.
Well, and here's the strangest edit of all to me. When they come back from private panel, they do a daytime LA shot?
Yeah.
Was this a rare daytime panel?
But why tell us that? You're in a room with no windows.
I can't tell.
The days are shorter in this cycle. I know that doesn't make sense because I'd make it dark, but
it
I still like
but
it.
It's so dumb.
By the way, I'll say it now because I totally forgot, and I promised the listeners that I would bring up two song lyrics.
Oh, two lyrics. Yes, yes, yes.
There was a song by another callback band. Remember the mouse rat of a band that had every name?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had another song in this episode called Kill Me Every Time, which was whispered in the background. It has a lot of imagery that includes, you kissed me with a bullet between your teeth. You like the way that I struggle. I'm playing the willing victim, which maybe is just a Lulu song. But mm-hmm.
Whispered in the background. Did that one also feature Anne Choquette?
Both of these bands are just intricate. And it's like, I'll be on your show.
It was at the
Conga
Room.
You have to feature my music.
But I've got singles. Yeah, intricate is what a drag queen on All Stars is now. She's like, if I'm on this show, I'm dropping the single. Mm-hmm.
Call out order. Kara is first call out.
Nonsense. You could maybe convince me fourth.
There has been so few times that I've audibly yelled no while I've been watching. And I was like, no. But yeah, top four.
Mm-hmm. Nicole is second.
Of course she is, but she should have been first.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then Aaron.
And here's the thing. I would have even, there's a world where, especially if she hadn't gotten it last week, I would have given it, if Aaron had been first and Nicole had been second, I'd been like, fine.
Fine.
Sunday is fourth.
That seems a little
high.
Yes.
A little high, but I mean, most improved maybe.
Sure. Because mm-hmm. Jennifer is fifth.
That would have been my.
I really like Jennifer high.
Yeah,
me Sunday too. For sure.
And then Bianca.
Which I'm glad Bianca.
Begrudgingly.
Yeah.
Well, then Tyra tells her, you could have almost been called first.
How? How was Bianca going to get that?
Bianca is literally jumping through hoops for this show, for this photo. And can't be given a win.
Then Laura. Hmm. Then Ashley.
Ooh.
How?
And then Ray.
Low.
Feels low, but they did
slightly
that
low, not crazy low, I guess.
Yeah.
Which leaves Lulu v. Brittany.
Which
off the photos, yeah.
Sure. But as Brittany said, she's the best walker.
Yeah.
Tyra gets weirdly.
Brittany looked straight at her producer and was like, you edited that line in earlier, right?
Right. Tyra gets weirdly casual mm-hmm. and says, there are two of you standing before me, and I'm only going to call one of your names. Why are you messing with the formula?
She also lies and says, Lulu, Nigel Barker says you're one of his favorite girls to look at in the room, which, number one, gross. Number two, I don't think he said that.
I don't remember it. You know what also was a lie? The captions. Because they crunched a lie into existence. Because several times when the girls came up and were talking and saying thank you or whatever it was on Tyra's level. Well, not Tyra's level. You
She's
know what
so
I mean.
Far above them, GW.
Yeah, exactly. But they would caption Tyra saying, you're welcome.
To make
and I did not hear that.
Appear more polite.
And it happened last episode,
false
too.
Blessings.
Negative blessings.
Negative blessings.
It's so weird. It's like the captions are Tyra's mom being like, she said, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
She said,
I know the daughter I raised would say, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Tyra also attributes woe to these judges a lot. With Lulu, it's woe. You have that kind of face where you're like, how is she going to photograph? But with Brittany, it's, whoa, she looks so short. How can she look so long one week and so short the next?
I wish Jamie had been like, I didn't say whoa. I don't say whoa.
It's on my Wikipedia page. I'm sure it'll be very prominent that I don't say whoa.
I do not say whoa.
Yeah. You'll all Google me and be able to see so much because I've had a great career and will continue to have a great career. Right, Tyra? And Tyra just looks at her with completely like red eyes.
She does the devil tongue from last. Brittany stays. Lulu leaves. We get a shocked expression from Ashley.
Lulu is told she's going to have to go home and study tension.
Study tension.
Study it.
Get that divisional in college. Mm-hmm. Tension 101.
And then the strange graduation music comes on.
Yeah. I will say that Lulu leaving the collage really opens up the competition to Kara's right leg.
It does.
It's the only thing she was covering.
That's now Kara looks long.
Overall, great episode for Kara. You know what I mean? Huh? Lulu Brathwaite, BRAITHWAITE.
Brathwaite.
Her Instagram handle is Amethyst Mommy.
Is she a crystal mommy?
Maybe. MAMI. Her bio is friendly, but not nice.
Well,
and then some emojis that will make sense later, which is a woman than a toolbox. Okay. And then woodwork enthusiast at Lulu the Carpenter. We'll get to that in a sec. Mm-hmm. Queer and Black AF. And then hashtag all Black Lives Matter. Then you go to Lulu the Carpenter. And that's what she's doing now. It says woodwork enthusiast, prop maker, custom furniture maker, she they. And also there's a lot of fun stuff. There's a really cool like Kwanzaa candle thing that I saw that was really nice. That you could also, if you didn't want to actually burn the candles, they like had these wooden lit wicks that you could like put in and out, which was really cool. And that seems to be what she does a lot of now. I saw a really cool queer spread where she was part of a gorgeous, looks like same-sex couple in Free Magazine, the first issue of Free Magazine Japan.
Cool.
And or issue one, yeah. And it's called Same Love. So that's what makes me think that it was very specifically trying to be a queer couple. And this is random. But as I was looking up stuff on Lulu, one of the articles that was just kind of recapping the show from way back when, the only photo was like her like generic contestant photo. And at the end, it said for the photo credits, photo, the eliminated Lulu. And I love that phrasing.
My question for you, JW, does her tattoo say Jocelyn or Brooklyn?
I didn't notice, but that'd be a great thing to look up. Maybe some eagle-eyed viewers can look that up and let us know. That'd be really funny, actually. But yeah, so she's doing like carpentry and woodworking and all that kind of stuff. And there's some definitely artistry behind it.
It says Rosalyn. Okay. Went on the Instagram, still says Rosalyn.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What a journey we went on with Lulu.
I want to say very quickly, and this is going to sound, I don't want this to sound like I'm saying something mean because I'm not. A lot of the time when we look at these contestants' Instagrams, we're like, oh my God, they haven't aged a day. Usually because they're still modeling. So they have to have a certain kind of upkeep. Lulu looks like she has aged stunningly. Like she is a stunning woman and it's not her job to have to like
look gorgeous every single second.
But she just naturally does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, though, Alexander. We went on a journey with Lulu from loving auditions to kind of not hearing anything from her to giving her a villain edit for her Exuin episode.
Yeah. I feel so conflicted because it went from nothing to like she was kind of quiet to like the loudest person in the room about shit talking people. And like, while I think like I really liked that first photo, the baby photo, but it never kind of went past that. And I think it's maybe because she didn't care.
Yeah, I'm thinking if your true self is lesbian carpenter, this show is not going to be where your best and your happiest self.
Yeah, there's something that as a member of the queer community, I always want to root for the queer members on the show. And frankly, it feels like we get so few and or the ones that we do have, like Cycle 3's Nicole, it's not something that gets brought up a lot post-auditions.
Right.
Because to be fair, it really didn't get brought up for Lulu post-audition episode.
No.
You know, it's there to like give them a quick character, but then you don't really get to explore it at all. And Top Model's done some exploration, you know, here and there with like, you know, Michelle and Michelle's get it. That makes sense. I never thought about that before. Yeah. But yeah, so I hate that. There's something about me, actually, I don't hate it. There's something about me that does love when there's a queer villain.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's something kind of
you
like.
You need that representation.
Yeah, I want more, that representation too.
I like to see me on the screen.
So that's how I kind of want to remember Lulu. It's just like a positive representation of a queer villain.
I love it.
Yeah.
And if you think we're queer villains, you should rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. We love hearing you, your hot takes, your iced tea. You can also reach out to us at podleadem.com or send us an email at podleadem@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
P.O. Box, we got that.
We got it.
We got it.
We got that box. We got that box.
We have an email, I believe.
Oh, yes. There's a super fun email that I am going to look up. So, again, that email address is podleadem@gmail.com, and that contact information is also on the website. Yeah. So, fun thing is someone came up with a conspiracy theory. This is from Jessica. Okay. Conspiracy theory, De La Renta, Hannah Alexander, JW. I literally and figuratively laugh out loud listening to every one of your episodes, but today I physically doubled over belly laughing. Thanks for making my day. You're welcome, Jessica. My conspiracy theory is regarding Mr. J's Romana Clef, The Meltdown, specifically the character De La Renta, who is Pablo's friend, Keisha's hairstylist in the novel. De La Renta called Keisha mother, always had hit or miss one-liners, strangely evaporated from scenes, but his comedic presence is no longer needed.
Oh, we remember De La Renta. Also, dialected.
I love that Jessica was like, in case you forgot.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So in today's pod, you all love the Oscar tie-in, as it's Hannah's baby name. Also, I love the reminder that it's your baby's name.
Yeah.
And also, Jessica understands how to write an essay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Present supporting us arguments. The evidence.
Yeah. And also the name of Tyra's hairstylist, who is made to perform tasks outside of his title job description. I also thought the name crossover is really fun and felt kind of bad for Tyra's Oscar for being made to do all this extra work. Then I thought, hairstylist named Oscar, hairstylist named De La Renta, Oscar is De La Renta. De La Renta is Oscar. Yes. Why does my brain hold this useless information?
Why all our brains?
Is a perfect conspiracy theory.
And likely accurate. I am overjoyed that you pieced it together and surprised at us for not. I want to finish Jessica's email just a little bit. Coincidentally, today is my daughter's first birthday. One year ago, I survived the first days home with baby with your bonus episode on the meltdown in my ear pods. Those episodes were fantastic and hold a special place in my heart as they got me through an incredible but very intense life moment of learning how to be a new mom. Thanks for all that you do. Your jokes land just when I need them. Cycles 1-12 have been a blast to relive with you, and I can't wait to stay tuned for the quote second half of Top Model. Thank you, Jessica.
Sending you that quarantine mom energy, my friend.
The amount of folks that we have helped through pregnancies that have written in and told us is so sweet to me. And here's the thing. How many of those babies are named JW? Do you want your baby to have a Southern accent? That's how you do it.
Also, gender neutral.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How many of those babies are named Crump?
Would adore that. Thanks, Jessica, and happy birthday, little Jessica.
Yeah. Baby Crump.
That's a great conspiracy theory. Oh, that was so smart. Oscar De La Renta, of course. Of course.
See, but we wouldn't have been able to figure that out because it was that was over a year ago.
We were given the information too late.
You can find me anywhere at Yet Charming.
Come say hi on Instagram at Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
And I'm on Twitter at JW Crump.
And be sure to use the hashtag Podleadem anytime you do so that we can be sure to see it. And especially if you use hashtag Podleadem, it doesn't get lost in the Slavic language of Podleadem, which I think means very icy. I'm not sure. It's Croatian, maybe. I'm not sure. So for Podleadem, I have been Alexander Bryce.
I'll be Hannah Jane Ginsburg.
Watching you break down is so funny to me. And I'm JW Crump.
And we'll see you on top.
I hate this. Podleetum is not endorsed by America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, 10x10 Entertainment, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. America's Next Top Model and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.